today.
The fog will hang around.
Blog Talk Radio.
Cooler, around 60-61. Partly cloudy skies for Thursday night. Lows down to about 47. We'll see a turn for Friday and running up into the weekend. More clouds and rain showers expected. High temperatures in the upper 50s.
It's time that you are heard, and I don't mean in just a conversation. I mean really heard. Imagine hosting your very own radio program on Alternative Talk 1150. Talk about being heard. Call 425-653-1150 right now to learn how affordable it can be to host your own radio show. Time slots are going fast, so take hold of this chance by dialing 425-653-1150. Alternative Talk, we have an opportunity waiting just for you.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Motivation and inspiration are powerful tools that change and influence perspectives, voices, and projects that shape the world. With all the negativity in the world, it can be hard to find those rare and beautiful stories that tell of inspired spiritual activism and individual healing journeys. Walk the path with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, on the show Heart Change Consciousness, where we inspire listeners to take action towards a more just world. We'll hear from authors, change makers, influencers, activists, poets, filmmakers, and cultural workers who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Heart Change Consciousness allows us to understand the world from different perspectives and highlights what is possible when we are fearless and open ourselves to our soul purpose and engage each other across boundaries. So let's self-heal and open the path to self-sovereignty. Heart Change Consciousness begins now. Hello, welcome to Heart Change Consciousness. I'm your host, Trish DeRocher, and I am so excited to be here with my guest today, Joanna Sias, who is a self-care coach and owner of Shea Sabine, Where Happiness Lives. Jo holds a master's in clinical psychology and currently resides with her husband and two children outside of Atlanta, Georgia. When Jo and I met earlier to talk about what we might want to talk about in this episode, Jo told me self-care, that's all I'm into. So today we'll be talking all self-care all the time. So on a personal note, I just want to say that I've known Jo for about 20 years somehow, which is pretty wild. And she has been consistently the person I channel when I'm lacking on my self-care. So when our kids were younger, Jo set aside Mondays as her self-care day, whether it was like going to the spa or just getting outside or connecting with friends. That was just a sacred day for Jo to have to herself, and her husband would watch the kids that day. These days, Jo regularly takes what she calls momcations, and these are kind of weekend getaways where she can connect with herself out of her roles as mother, wife, coach, daughter, right? Just Jo. Jo's modeling and unapologetic, and I really mean that, way of regularly carving out time for herself has really helped me confront a lot of the social and familial conditioning that I received, that to be a mother and a partner meant to be a martyr, right? Meant to not have needs or to just put my needs on the back burner. And so these days, this is Jo's life work. She's had the courage to step out of her role as a therapist and fully into her soul calling, and started Shea Sabine in 2019, August 2019, I think. So Jo, I just want to thank you so much for coming and being here with us today.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Hi, Patricia. I was wondering how it's been 20 years already. But thank you for having me. I'm excited. And yes, self-care every day. I have to go back for the sugar. I started slow this morning. I did not wake up before 8. Usually I'm up by 6. Because I knew I was going to do this. I came to my own show on Instagram just so I can be present and fully embodying the participation of self-doubt and show other people. And I do have little ones. I have a 4-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a husband, and we are celebrating 10 years together, married, I should say, next month. So, hi.
That's wild. That's wild. Yeah, yeah. And so, Joe, I really appreciate that because you really do walk the talk, and that's really what you always show me and kind of remind me of when I'm kind of like, oh, I say I'm doing this, but I'm like drifting. It like helps bring me back. So, Joe, I'd love if you can just share with our listeners a little bit about how self-care became like the staple of your life. And how it's something that you became so passionate about. And so I'm wondering if self-care was something that was modeled for you growing up, if it was encouraged, and a little bit about what your journey was like becoming a self-care coach, and, yeah, just letting listeners learn a little bit more about your work.
So I am originally from Haiti. I was born and raised. So the island life is more relaxed. So I can say, yes, it was model, but I've been me for 37 years. I nap every day. I didn't stop napping once I graduated from being a toddler or anything like that. The joke in our house was, if we go anywhere that's far, or not far, I will fall asleep in the bus. I never know what loud people think because I'll be sleeping. Anyway, so I've been doing self-care before it was popular. So that's from my childhood. And then when I got to school, I realized the self-awareness of I'm a morning person. So I like to be up in the morning, but by noon, I will need to power down just so I can go on for the rest of the day. So I always make sure I do stuff in the morning, I come home, I eat, I rest, I nap, and then I do stuff in the afternoon. So I've been doing self-care before I knew that's what I was doing. And then by being a mental health therapist, my background is in multi-systemic therapy, which kids are in probation, I have to go to the school, I have to go to court, and working with the family, what was lacking is the parents didn't have any tools to take care of themselves, but they were listening to be helping their children. So I was like, oh, I could do something different. I can focus on the family instead of me helping the child, because the child's going to go back home in this environment. But if mom and dad are overwhelmed, how are they gonna supposed to come and keep calmly asking you, like, hey, how's your day? Like, I don't even know what I'm doing. So that's how it shaped for me. So with the pandemic, instead of having to go to families and work in the community, I am doing behavior coaching with adults. So no little ones, so you have to be able to be an adult. And I'm, in my private practice, I'm only working with families, moms or dad or caregivers. So I'm really focusing on that. We have to be the, we cannot authentically give anything that we don't. So if I'm not rested, if I'm not coming in a space of love, how am I helping you? I cannot hopefully be helpful to you.
Yeah, the whole putting putting your mask on first, right? And refilling your cup and making sure that you have energy in your cup. Yeah, and I think that people, you know, we hear that intellectually, but the practice of it is so much harder because there can be so much guilt and shame, and especially when you're not seeing it modeled around you in the collective culture, it's easy to dip and be like, maybe it's not okay to do this.
I have that whole thing. I don't, is it just for me? It does not really have to. And everywhere, because our family were like, what are you doing? Like, we don't understand it. Okay, I'm happy. And that, and to me, that was, I'm like, if I'm happy, it's good. And they're like, what do you mean you're happy? I'm like, that's all I need. My base is happy. If I'm happy, the rest will follow. And everything else is like, oh, you know, I don't worry much. Now, I do have a husband that likes to worry, and I let him enjoy that. But for me, I'm like, it's going to work out. So I believe it's going to work out, and usually it does. Mm-hmm. So it works hand in hand. I'm like, by me hoping and being optimistic that it's going to be fine, it's, you know, it's like, I did not know that. I did not think about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that your clarity of purpose and your kind of guiding pillars, that they've always been really clear for you, at least since I've known you, right? And that's where a lot of people get stuck, is that need to kind of people please or what other people will think. And it seems to be one of your gifts, Joe, to just like unapologetically stand in that sovereignty and be like, this is what works. You don't have to understand it. But I think there's that Marianne Williamson quote about, we're not afraid of our darkness, it's actually our light that scares us. And she talks about how when we, you know, like dimming our light doesn't actually do anything for anyone, right? Sometimes we, right? But when we stand in that light, it actually becomes like a model for other people. And they're like, oh, I can do that too. That's something I can grow into.
And it's true, because one of my mommy friends, she had never traveled by herself before I moved to Georgia. And then finally, she actually went to a wedding, versus a wedding, without the kids, and she had five kids. And the husband, and she had fun. I'm like, that's the thing I'm thinking about. Because I'm breastfeeding, so I was the mama that breastfed. I will take my child. But if I'm not breastfeeding, I'm going without you. Like, it's okay to actually lean in the support you have when you have it in the resources.
Mm-hmm.
So I want people to be like, because if you're aware of yourself, you know where your boundaries are. And I am very good with my boundaries.
Wrote that down. Yeah. So being clear with your boundaries, right? That's how you mark your safe space, and that's how you stand in your sovereignty, right? I wrote down the next word I have is boundaries, because this kind of segues into our next question. But there's a lot of people, not just because they're in part because of the familial and social conditioning, but just a sense of like, well, self-care is selfish and it's narcissistic and it's a little indulgent and it's out of reach for most people. Yeah, I can see the look on your face, but we're going to go here. We're just going to try it on, right? And so that's coming like from some spheres. And then, you know, some activists are like, well, we don't need self-care. We need community care, right? Because we need people taking care of each other and we need systems to change. And I know you're a fan of the Knapp Ministry, right, which is a Black woman-owned organization in Atlanta, which is actually currently on pause for, like, 2 months because she's like, I'm resting. Social media posts. Yeah. And I want to highlight that particular organization is really a way to model and bring attention to rest as a form of rest of reparations for BIPOC people, right?
Yes.
And also a refusal of capitalist principles, right, that are just like somehow your worth is connected to your doing. She's really doing a lot of work against that. We have the Audre Lorde quote. I just want to set up so that you can go. But we have the Audre Lorde quote about how self-care, right, is not an act of self-indulgence. It is an act of self-preservation. And she even says it's an act of political warfare, right? So there is like this phrase self-care that gets used. Everybody has an opinion on it. And yet when we talk, you are pretty clear that like you're not sure that self-care for you is a form of activism, right? It's something that guides you. But so I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit more about what self-care means specifically for you, what it consists of, what it looks like, why it matters, maybe what it's not, and also how it might, how you think about some of these critiques of self-care.
Okay. Where to start? So to me, we'll start with the definition. But self-care, my tagline is loving yourself in conscience. So if you love yourself, which most of us, I don't think we know how to actually love ourselves, you will take care of yourself because you make time for the things you care for. So to me, self-care is loving yourself in action. And I always love when you bring authors and books, because when we met, I was just like, no, I just do this. I don't know. I wasn't reading that. So it was like, I haven't read that book yet. And she's like, what? Where did you get it? So I was fortunately born having a purpose and tapping it early on. So I didn't have to waver about what other people are doing, what they're saying. And yes, it's selfish. I will be selfish by loving myself. That's okay. So I don't have to take that heat of that, oh my God, they think I'm doing something selfish. Yes, I am going to take a pause. I'm going to rest. I'm going to nap so I can show up as my best self. And if that's selfish, right on. I'm okay with that. to take care of the community. Not to take care of myself.
Yeah.
I can't take care of the community. So how am I going to show up for the community if I'm not in a good space? So self-care can be personal and communal, but the personal part has to happen first. So for me, it's always me first and everything else follows. Mm-hmm. And it comes the same way as a mommy, as a wife. I have to be in a good space so I can be of service to others. And when people think about it, I'm like, I'm going to work with other people. I'm not saying I'm doing all this and I'm going to stay away and not share it. I'm doing this so I can actually have clients and I have my program where they'll be like, oh, after 1 week, I can see the difference of me spending time with myself and getting to know myself and knowing what triggers me when I need to pull back. Because if we don't have that relationship with ourselves, how are we going to be in a space where we're going to get triggered all the time and we don't even know why? Oh, picking up all the energy, then we don't know if this is mine or if this is yours. How are we going to deal with it? The NAP ministry, I was able to go to two of the installations before the pandemic happened, and I loved it because we did, she brought ideas where we can actually read stuff, some point we meditated, and actually NAP as a community where you actually, like, things calm down and you, and as a napper, happy. So actually have a space where I can go and people understand that you can rest. It's okay to rest, and we're not going to see a better world if we're not rested. If we always fizzle out, we're not going to see something different in the world. So that's my point of view.
Well, Joe, I think that your point about how when you're taking care of yourself, it can actually feed the community, right? That there's a difference if you are engaging in self-care and just kind of keeping all of your energy in, right, versus self-care as an actual mechanism to be able to do work in the world and to show up with a full tank and in a heart space. So
exactly. So whatever you get from me, it's not from my cup. It's from the overflow of my cup. So I'm not giving you anything I don't have. I'm giving you all the leftovers and all the good things. Because I think in our conversation, I was like, I get excited watching the sunrise and sunset. And it happens almost every day. And I was like giddy, just like, and if I have like bunnies by my window while we're talking, I'll be like focusing that way. And I'm like, oh, sorry. Like there was a bunny. Generally, I'll be like excited over the bunny. You can be here. Be here. Like, do you know how many pictures of the deer I've been taking?
I do.
To tell the people I put them so much. But, like, being consciously making make sure I'm in a good space, I can be of service. And when I am in service, I give my best to all my clients. And if there's a day I wake up and I'm not feeling well, I will reschedule because I don't want to show up for you and you're not getting anything but from me. So I have that balance out, too, because I'm not saying that, oh, I have to work, and it's not set in stone. There's the flexibility of things.
Yeah, I also, when we talked before, you said one of the best things about this work is that it doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
And I think that when we're taking care of ourselves, right, and we feel present and settled and well-rested, we can show up for the work, and it does feel like an act of love, which is different from that capitalist understanding of, like, oh, I have to show up to work right now.
Yeah, and I love that with the NAP ministry, one of the things that the mind is not a machine. I don't have to grind to be of service. I'm grinding for you, and I'm not shining. I'm not saying I don't rich and popular and all those things, but that's not my goal. My goal is if I'm happy, I can show someone how to be happy too. And the money will always follow.
Yep.
The goodness will come by doing the good work.
Yeah. Yeah, that intention. And I think even when people hear or sometimes use the word abundance, there's always like that automatic equation to financial resources, which of course is a part, right? Because you need to be able to survive.
Yeah.
But abundance is like abundance of time, right? Just feeling an abundance of support and love, an abundance of nourishment, right? It can mean so many things.
Yeah. So, yeah, when I go with abundance food, it's on my cup. I love to eat. I cook. I eat out. So food is one of my love language, and I cook for others. So I usually tell someone, I'm like, if we're friends and I haven't cooked for you, we're not truly friends. Nothing. It's just like, I have to deal with this. And that's how I show, want to show a way of showing love. So if I haven't seen you, we need to, like, rectify that, because that's how I show, like, I will take the time, and we're Haitian. Our meals can take hours. And I will do that. I'll stand up and cook, and if I know I'm going to feed a family or friends, I love it. Like, it's one of my love. In abundance, water, abundance for the bath. Like I said, animals or nature. There's different way of seeing abundance that doesn't just have to be money. Because you can be abundantly happy.
Yeah.
Like, we need to switch the mindset. We don't have to think about mindset, but we have to change the mindset.
I love your example of food, too, because that, I think that is one of the first ways that we met. We were college students, and I was living off campus, and you were like, do you have a kitchen? Let me cook for you, because I really just want to cook, you know. But that sense of, you know, of taking care of yourself and taking care of others, that it flows outer, right, when you have that inner cup full. And I'm thinking about kind of what you said at the beginning of this, is that, you know, sometimes people don't put those boundaries in place because they don't feel like they are worthy of it. And I do think that there's a deep sense of unworthiness, and saying yes to self-care, whatever that looks like, and maybe we can talk a little bit more about that. You've shared some examples, but that when you start saying yes to yourself, it is a way of asserting your worthiness and that you actually matter. And I'm just wondering your thoughts on unworthiness and self-care.
Yeah, definitely. So for me, is when I get in a new space, I'm not questioning the space, right? Because I know what I'm breathing on. So I know I'm coming as my full self. I'm here, I'm breathing, I'm worthy. So we don't have to discuss, am I worthy on that? So it's the people that doesn't know their worth do not work, because it's not up to someone else to validate your worthiness. You have to come in knowing you're here. If you're breathing, they are rest. So to do that work, so having the self-care practice of spending time with yourself, knowing how to love yourself fully with all the flaws, because I'm not perfect, but in my mind I am, right? Because I'm like, I'm not coming like, oh my God, this doesn't work. I'm too big. This is like, I'm not doing that to myself, and that is not love. Yes, there's stuff I might be able to improve, and I like to tell people, as a former therapist, I still go to therapy. I have a therapist because we need another adult helping me in my head. So I'm all okay with that. So with the help with the super and everything, but I still know in the core, I am light, I am love, and I'm worthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's simple as that.
Yeah, and for me, I noticed that when I waver in my self-care, when you're talking about working with clients, that the more I work in my practice, the more I learn that the actual work is self-care. And then when I take care of myself, that's when my clients find me, and it changes the energy in the session, right? I'm able to just be present in that moment.
One of the things I offer my clients is that I'm a tea drinker. So for our session, if they want, because I always have Kindles on my mail, so I'm going to tell them, I have Kindles, I have tea. If you need that time for us to arrive, so we know what we're doing together, you have that choice. And some of them are like, oh, that sounds good, I'll try it. And then some of them are like, no, we just need to talk. But I will tell them, like, for my self-care practice, while I'm talking to you, I'm practicing self-care. Because I want to be present, but I always have, I want to show you this in front of me, but I do not, oh, double booking. I don't like that. I don't like feeling overwhelmed. And if I'm overwhelmed, I'm taking a nap. As simple as that. If I feel overwhelmed, I put myself on timeout. But I'm like, that's the energy, the rush energy, the overwhelmed energy. I don't want that to be how I'm showing up. So it's doing all the things and be like, oh, how much you do for self-care? A lot. I will. Mm-hmm. And we might not label it self-care, but for me it is, because that allows me to be present for everyone when I need to be present. And when I don't want to be present, I have no issue saying no, and I don't have to explain the no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love that idea of modeling even when your clients are there. We just have a couple minutes before break, Joe. I'm wondering if you tell listeners where they can find your work and a little bit more about your individual services and how you work with them.
Right now, I am mostly on Instagram every Wednesday going live for Self-Care Wednesday. For my classes, we do a five-week Self-Care I Love Me journal where you get to talk to me one-on-one once a week. For the freebie, we give you a seven-day self-care challenge to see where you're at. And I know I've been doing self-care for so long, but you do not have to do it the same way. So my website is JoanneOTS.com. So everything is mostly on my name. Even Shabine. Shabine is my name also. So I am full of myself at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, Joanna's going to share with us some more about her spiritual path, how that feeds into her work. Some of the work that she's still dreaming into existence because she has, like, really exciting plans and ideas. And also some tips for listeners for upping their self-care practices. So please join us after the break.
Are you feeling the complexity of life? Do you feel that urge to step into something greater? Tune in to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity. With me, life.
The previous Amber Alert out of Richland, Washington has been canceled.
Hi, I'm Patricia McMahon, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia. And I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that our whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
Transition, simultaneously the most difficult and vital part of the human experience. Without change, how would we grow? Tune in to Grounding Into Your Radiance with Stacey Barber every second and fourth Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Step into your truth and allow the light into your life. For more information about Stacey and her services, visit StaceyBarber.com. That's Stacey, S-T-A-C-I-E, Barber.com.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit burnbrighttoday.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Steffen each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Transition, simultaneously the most difficult and vital part of the human experience. Without change, how would we grow? Tune in to Grounding Into Your Radiance with Stacey Barber every second and fourth Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Step into your truth and allow the light into your life. For more information about Stacey and her services, visit StaceyBarber.com. That's Stacey, S-T-A-C-I-E, Barber.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca. Hello, thank you for coming back and joining us at Heart Change Consciousness. Today we're here with self-care coach and owner of Shape a Being Where Happiness Lives, Joanne Osias. So we've been talking with Joe all things self-care, and we're going to dive back into that. Before we do so, I just want to remind listeners that my practice is Transformative Consciousness Coaching and Consulting. My web address is transformativeconsciousness.com, and I work with somatic spiritual coaching, biofield tuning, which is working with tuning forks, and then I also hold group sessions so that people can come home to themselves, just unlearning some unworthiness stories, limiting belief systems, and just finding some ways to release old trauma so they can come back into the heart. And so, Joe, I wanted to give you a chance to again tell listeners where they can find out more about your work.
Yes. Again, Joanne, hi. Thank you for watching us again. I am on Instagram at shapeabeing.com. My webpage is my name, joanneosias.com, and I do everything self-care. And I usually work with adults, so I don't work with little ones anymore. And my background is in mental health therapy. But we're doing self-care coaching now, which is not fun.
Yeah, so thank you, Joe. That brings us to kind of our next point to talk about is that often as we're moving through our path, we hit challenges. Right? And at the time, those challenges can feel really devastating. And they also often teach us lessons and kind of show us our way further on the path, right? It's kind of a both and. And then it's interesting because as we're kind of shedding those old things and old patterns, we're also moving into the direction of where we're going and where we want to go. And sometimes our clients can actually help us to see where it is that we want to go or what our specific gifts are. So I know that you had some challenges as a therapist, both in terms of feeling like your role was a band-aid to a larger problem, like you mentioned earlier, and also in not feeling respected for your knowledge and gifts, and also maybe feeling a little too boxed in, right? I also know that you really celebrate not being contained in a box, right? Like this is really something that you celebrate and encourage other people to grow into too. So I'm wondering if you can share with us a little bit more about your challenges, the lessons learned, and insights that you've gained as a therapist and how that helped you to really move into this work with clients on self-care. You went into it briefly earlier, but I just love to hear a little bit more about that. And then who is drawn to work with you? Who are you drawn to work with? And what your vision is of how your services act on the world?
Yeah, definitely. So a little background. In Haiti, psychology was not well known. So when I got in the U.S. as a teenager and went to school, I actually had my bachelor's of science in mathematics. So psychology or therapy was not a plan that I had as a young age. And I discovered Psych 101, I think, my first year. But I had the knowledge of, like, okay, since I want to have my degree in math, I'm not going to declare psychology as my minor because I will need it to take more classes. I've always been good at, I'm not doing extra work for any reason. So I had enough amount of psychology for a minor, but I didn't declare because they were asking me to take lab. But my math, I already had lab experience in it already, so I was like, I'm not doing that. So I finished as a mathematician, right? Worked as a social worker for a year in Brooklyn, then came back and got my master's in psychology. And I chose my school because I didn't have to take the exam, whatever test you're supposed to take to do the schooling. I've always been clear, like, I'm not showing you more work for no reason. And then we created the program where we didn't have to take that test to be a clinician. So that's how I chose the field. and I worked with teenagers, like I said, in the family, and what I saw was the family were overwhelmed, they didn't have the resources, and the kids were in trouble, and there wasn't us to help the kids and not the family. So when I decided to do coaching, I wanted to work with the caretaker, the parents. And what brought me fully into that is 3 years ago, I had a miscarriage, and I couldn't connect why the miscarriage had to happen while I already had 2 healthy kids. And that was a trauma for me. And in the moment, I wasn't able to recognize it because I was practicing self-care. I was doing things, but I was doing a work that takes me 2 hours away from home. And I wasn't really paying attention to that. So by me stopping, I went to Brazil for a week, quit my job. I should say, I did quit the job and went to Brazil. And people were like, what are you doing? I'm like, I need to take care of it. I need to reconcile why this had to happen for me to pause. And the only thing that came back to me when I did coaching with someone else was, you could be a coach, but what would that look like? And I was like, most people are not doing self-care, like fully embracing doing self-care of actually authentically spending time with themselves and see what's going on. So as I said, I am more drawn to moms because I want the moms to know, yes, we chose to be mothers, but we are still persons and we are still women, and there's stuff we need to do for us so we can be of service to family. Mm-hmm. Was that something else? It was a long question.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about even just that moment. You know, often we're kind of in survival mode. Like a trauma will happen to us, but we have to keep going, right? We have families, we have lives, we have bills. So even if we are taking care of ourselves, there's a part of it that's compartmentalized. Like we can't really deal with it all at once.
Exactly.
So it sounds like that's a little bit what happened to you, that it snuck up on you. But I also want to just reflect that it takes courage to actually go into those places, right? A lot of us will choose busyness. Busyness can be a trauma response, and it feels safer than pressing pause. Yeah.
And I much rather pause because I want to learn my lesson the first time. I don't want to repeat the same lesson. So for me, it's like, if this happened, it's telling me something because I always wanted to be a mom, so that was a choice for me, but I have a thing about giving birth. So I never wanted to put something out of me, but I wanted a kid. So both of my children, which I didn't have to schedule, did come via C-section. So what I hold in my head showed up as a manifestation of what I wanted anyway. So for me to have a miscarriage and having to birth a mass of things, I'm like, oh, no, we need to pause. Mm-hmm. Because this is not how you see yourself. This is not what you want to do. And maybe the work you're doing right now is not truly what you need to be doing. So let's pause. So that was my thing of like, no. I'm not forcing this. I'm going to pause completely to recognize what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's so much vulnerability in that, right? When boundary work is my work. I have to constantly work on saying no, as you know. it's good practice for me. But what used to happen to me is that I would be going like full force ahead, ignoring that I had a body, ignoring my needs, and then I would just know that things weren't right. But then I would feel so overwhelmed, I would have to kind of like toss everything out and then be like, okay, this isn't working, to figure out what was working and what wasn't working. And it's really scary because when you make that decision to press pause, you're confronted with yourself, and you have a choice, right? And for a lot of people still, that fear is so strong that even when we see what it is, we'll still go back to make those other choices. Because it's scary to kind of walk into the unknown. And so I'm wondering how you see those lessons actually showing up in your ability to be a self-care coach. Do you see them showing up?
Yeah. So for me, is when the trauma happens, it's being aware of it. So instead of the doctors had offered, and I'm in Georgia right now, and they keep saying, like, if you want to get pregnant again, let's figure it out. And I'm like, no. We have two kids. We're good. I never felt pregnant. And that was one of the things. I was like, give us that voice. But as a woman, I'm telling you, I've never felt pregnant. I didn't feel the connection with a soul, and nobody was listening to me. And I'm like, that's not okay. I have two other kids. I know what it felt like to be pregnant. So if I'm saying this, and everyone was like, oh, don't say that. Don't jinx yourself. And I'm like, I'm not jinxing. In my being, I'm not feeling that connection. But it's having everyone to actually give us that permission to recognize we have something different than men. And that connection to our body needs to be recognized. Because it's the whole thing like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. That. What do you mean? I'm telling you, in my sense of being, I'm not feeling. And you're negating what I'm saying. And I have to keep saying like, no, I don't want you to try to help me get pregnant. I want to understand why this has to happen. And if you cannot give me that respect, answer I need to figure that out for myself.
Yeah.
So, clients, I don't want you to have that for us to get to the space of like, oh, I need to take care of myself. And I knew I didn't want my job because traffic in Atlanta can take you 2 hours. That cannot be my life. I'm going to sit here in the car for 2 hours just so I can go make some money to come back home and bust it. So I knew that part already, but so that had to stop me to be like, okay, I need to work closer to home. I need to figure out what my job is going to look like and the culture of mental health. Because even if you have a full load, your boss, your supervisor will ask you to take more. And my last job, I had to consistently say no.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I show up, I got the interview, I did everything. I'm like, I'm showing up as a part-time therapist. But I had to keep reminding them for a whole year that I'm showing up as a part-time therapist. That shouldn't be. And we're in the mental health helping other families. So I'm going to be exhausted and overwhelmed helping someone else.
Yeah.
So I don't want my clients to have to go through the same thing that I'm going through.
Yeah.
That I went through for some time. I never last long. And anything else is unsettling, I'm not lasting long.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that there's a difference when you've walked that path, right, and you've been there. I think it opens up compassion too, right? It kind of changes the way that you're engaging with people because it's not coming from, like the analytical, I went to school and I know this, right? It's coming from this heart-based place, which is different.
Yes, definitely. And I feel like a lot of therapists say, oh, if I meet someone, if you're talking to me, I'm diagnosing you. I'm like, I am not doing that. No, not for free. I am not giving you a diagnosis for free. Like, no. What do you mean that if we're talking, I'm like, oh, you have this and that. I don't know what she has. No.
Yeah, that hat is not on.
No.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I was like, for free? No, I'm not. No. Don't worry about me.
That's one of the reasons why I left academia was because I felt like I had to engage with students as talking heads instead of as humans, like complex humans who had complex lives. So I'm wondering, for me, in my coaching practice and tuning practice, I get to actually engage with like the full human and also spiritual being. And it's healing for me to be able to do that, but it's also healing for clients to be able to be seen in all of that complexity.
Exactly.
I'm wondering if you feel that.
Yeah, so for my coaching, I created a self-care journal, which takes 5 weeks. And I tell them it's from my background of multisystemic therapy, it's the whole system. So we can talk about the whole body, finance, whatever you have, and your self-care has to be personal to you. So wherever you feel the most uncomfortable, overwhelming, that's where you need to start. So don't come in the session thinking that, oh, since we're doing self-care, it needs to look like this. No. It needs to look like what makes sense for you. So if for you is gardening, then that's what you do for your self-care.
Mm-hmm.
If for me, self-care is like, I need to nap every day, then that's my self-care. So I want my clients to come in the sense of, okay, she's going to really pay attention. And I'm not just hearing what you're saying. I'm listening to your tone, and I'm listening to what you're not saying. Because usually I'm going to be like, oh, can we read? And like, you can't tell. I'm like, yeah, I'm taking notes. I have the background as a therapist. I will be taking notes. So I can tell you like what we talk about, how we're going to circle back. And I know you wanted to talk about my spiritual part of the past. So last year I took a 6-week intensive work with Ayala Vincent, and I did not know how that was going to move through and how that was going to change things. And it was intense. And I love it because now I can see that, okay, so in the morning I have to pay attention to my meditation. I have to pay attention to my prayers. I have to do some stuff just to ground me in the morning so I can follow through for the rest of the day. And my client said, and I have to be spiritual, I'm not coming in and doing the woo-woo with you if that's not what you want, but I'm coming in alignment with what I need to be doing so that I can be of service to yourself.
Mm-hmm. And do you have, I'm wondering, how does that change how the work feels for you? Because I really like what you say. I do that with my tuning, too. So I work in the biofield tuning clinic. And so with some people, I'm just working with the tuning force. I'm like, oh, I can hear, you know, that your mind is loud, or I can hear that your left hip is a little unhappy. And then with others, when I listen to their words and their tones, I know that they're more open to spiritual practices, and then we do a different kind of work. But I'm wondering how you've noticed your coaching work change since you've deepened your spiritual practices.
With the coaching, is I can tell with the energy where they are. And most people so far is they are not grounded. So their root chakra is all over the place.
Yeah.
And then I did my personal code lighting, and I am very rooted. If you guys have watched this show so far, so I'm rooted on who I am. So it makes sense that the people I'm working with so far are the people that's kind of wavering, and they're not sure of like how to actually ground themselves. So most of my clients so far have been, I'm like, oh, if you are interested, you're going to want to work on your root chakra because you are not grounded at all. And it feels like everything's out there and we're looking for others to do for us. But if we go back within, ground ourselves. And it doesn't have to be. And that's the whole thing. I'm like, if spirit worries you, whatever religion you have, go back to that. Ground yourself to that. And it should always be coming from love and light anyway. So whatever religion that's telling you to do other things, that's the problem. Because it doesn't have to, because if you, like, and that's the whole thing, like, it doesn't have to be spirit, it doesn't have to be God. Like, I trust the universe. As spiritual as I am, I will say universe first before I say God or Jesus or anything like that. I'm like, oh no, the universe provides, mm-hmm. as always. So it's learning the language that makes sense for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love that as you do that too, just to connect what you were saying earlier about, like, the doctors trying to tell you about your experience and you trying to flip it and tell them about your experience, that it sounds like you really give your clients permission. Like, you have some skills and tools and training and know-how, but you don't know what it is to be them. And
exactly.
So you're encouraging them to really step in and be self-guided and to not look for an external root chakra, right? Because that's what many of us do. We're like, oh, maybe this thing will ground me.
No. Because if you're not sure who you are, you're always going to be looking for something else.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be something else. And it's like, oh, what else are you going to be studying? What else? I'm like, I don't need to be studying. If you look at my wall, which you cannot see everything, I have never, ever put my degrees up. And I never realized why I didn't put them up. I was just like, oh, I don't care. I really don't care that I have all those things behind my name. But it took me a while to realize that I never cared. But I knew I needed the little piece of paper to present something. But I should have been doing this for 10 years now.
Yeah.
If the society had given me the spirit of that, oh, just be you. You know what you're talking about. You've been yourself for a while. Do that. But I needed to go to school. I needed to do all those things. So I always said I was a closeted nerd. Because nobody would know I was studying math. But I was involved. He's like, what? What do you mean? I'm like, oh, I actually have some freaking scholarship. They're like, huh? We know you're sleeping, but smart. I'm like, yeah, I am, but I don't, that's not how I present myself.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're coming up on the end of our show, so I want to make sure that listeners have a chance to get some of your self-care tips, so some of the things that you do recommend, sounds like specifically for strengthening root chakra, self-care is absolutely about root chakra, but also about your vision, like what's coming next, so you know, like what do you dream about, what do you want to bring into the world?
So my vision is to have international different spaces of self-care wellness centers, and that will include cooking, traveling, napping pods, like anything that, so like I like to say is my friends is an extension of me. So all the things I love, I want that to be in my centers. And I think we had that conversation. I'm like, I don't want to have to love all of them, but again, I don't want to be overwhelmed. But I would love to have that create the space for others. And then one of my dreams was I woke up and I was in Tuscany, Italy, and I had a bed and breakfast in a wellness center. I don't know how that's happening, but that's one of the plans.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah, I think that having those spaces, one of the things you said to me was like, well, who wants to be busy all the time, right? I think that there is kind of an addiction to busy, though, right? And then when you know how good it feels to be connected to yourself and have an abundance of space and time, that's when you're like, oh, busy doesn't appeal to me. But those kind of wellness centers really feel like they carve out space for people to relearn and rewire other ways of being and how to take care of themselves.
Definitely. And I always say, if I am in any group, I want to be the demonstration of what self-care can look like. So, again, if I'm anywhere and nobody heard me say self-care or napping, because I always say, no, I need to go home, I need to nap. And people will look at me, I'm like, I'm serious, I'm going to go home, I need to nap. So I always show up as myself. So if I'm anywhere and I'm uncomfortable, one, I will leave this space because I do not want to be uncomfortable in my own skin. And two, I want you to be like, okay, it can be different. We can show up as ourselves and be okay. I don't have to be in competition with anyone.
Yeah.
But I have, what you have. We can work together, but we don't have to compete. So the mentality like we have to one up each other, I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's really ego, right? Like that very much is that capitalist model of competition everywhere, and instead of just realizing that we each are inherently worthy because we exist and we are love.
As simple as that, like, you are enough. Not because you're here, you're enough. That's it. That's all you have to be. If you're here, you came with a purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, and the self-care practices can help us get the noise out of our signal so we can be really clear and brave about what that purpose is.
Exactly. And so for the tips of self-care, if you do not journal, start journaling. That is one way to start to see what's happening here and put it down. There's something that happened with pen and paper that helps you release things. So first thing I'll say, journal and then pay attention. Are you a morning person or night person? Because sometimes we do work when we need to be sleeping. And some people, I do my best work early morning. I know that. So I don't schedule things late at night because I know I'm going to want to go to bed. So pay attention what kind of person you are and journal. And then after that, learn some kind of mindfulness, meditation, spend time in nature. That's one thing I feel like we're still running away from. Nature, water, be friends with water. Like, we did a program, and they were saying drink 64 ounces of water, and people were struggling. And I'm like, what? How much is that? I'm doubling and tripling in water in day. And they're like, oh, this is enough. I'm like, that's it. But I want hot. So I'm a fire and earth sign, which I love about myself. So I know I need water to be okay, but I'm like, we don't even have a good relationship with water.
Yeah.
So it's come back to basics. That's
yeah.
My thing. The basics.
And I work with Ayurveda, which is understanding that all of the elements out in the world and in nature are also what we are made of. So just to connect back to your point about not putting your degrees up, I knew it was time to leave academia when the air conditioner in my office leaked all over mine and I didn't care. But I think what you're talking about is guiding people into self-study, right, and to really just exploring themselves and to trust our intuitions and that our body actually knows the answer. So, Joe, we're almost out of time. If you can just remind people one more time about how they can find your work.
Yes. So Instagram, Shape.be, Self-Care Coach. On Facebook, I think there's my name, Joanna Fires, and then website is JoanneOsiris.com. So call me all the time, self-care all the time.
Great, thank you so much. Again, I'm Trish DeRocher. My website is transformativeconsciousness.com. That's transformativeconsciousness.com. I have different events and programs that are up on my site. Coming up in June for white-bodied yogis, there will be a Whiteness 101 session happening at Laughing River Yoga in Winooski, Vermont. And I'm also putting together another virtual training for white-bodied spiritual people who want to learn more about some of the conversations around racial justice work. So, Joe, thank you again so much for coming and having this conversation with us today.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for tuning in to Heart Change Consciousness on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher. Make sure to come back next time so we can continue to awaken your soul's purpose. Look forward to more conversations with your favorite authors, changemakers, influencers, activists, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. For more information about me and Transformative Consciousness Coaching, visit TransformativeConsciousness.com. That's TransformativeConsciousness.com. This was Heart Change Consciousness on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Wednesday to you, Benny Mathers, here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. Down on the south end, moving northbound I-5 around the King Pierce County line and rolling up through Highway 18. It's heavy, stopping issues there. Over also on 167 northbound on the same side out of Auburn and Highway 18, heavy there as well. That's right, stay tuned because coming up next, after the news weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's the Healing Hour with Dr. Sharon Martin, bridging the mystical and scientific. Topic for the show, the perfect power blend, bringing energy and ritual into medicine.
NBC News Radio, I'm Tom Roberts. President Biden is talking about COVID vaccinations this afternoon. He's noting that with the U.S. set to reach 200 million shots this week, that will double his original goal of 100 million shots in his first 100 days. The president is also offering an update on efforts to curb the coronavirus. Minneapolis police practices are coming under the scrutiny of the Department of Justice one day after former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin was found guilty of murdering George Floyd. Attorney General Merrick Garland said the DOJ will look at whether police in Minneapolis engage in excessive force.
The investigation will also assess whether the MPD engages in discriminatory conduct and whether its treatment of those with behavioral health disabilities is unlawful.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is applauding the guilty verdicts in the Derek Chauvin murder trial.
Our country was forever changed by the horrendous video of Derek Chauvin killing Mr. Floyd.
Schumer says the persistent problems of police misconduct and racism have not been solved, and he vows to continue trying to pass serious police reforms in the Senate. Police in Nassau County, New York, say it was a workplace grudge that led to a deadly shooting inside a grocery store yesterday. Police say Gabriel Wilson had gone into the store to ask for a transfer to another supermarket.
So Gabriel was a troubled employee, and in the months previous to this incident, he was having unwanted advances toward females that worked there. He was having disputes with other workers and threatening them, and was brought into the management office several times.
One person was killed and two others injured before Wilson was arrested. Russian President Vladimir Putin is using his State of the Union address to say the West will regret it if they provoke Russia's red lines. Tensions with the West are already heightened amid national protests in support of jailed opposition leader Alexei Navalny. Putin says they've been behaving with utmost restraint despite unfriendly actions toward Moscow. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Better sleep means a better you. That's why Mattress Firm came up with a Rest Assured Promise, featuring the best mattresses from America's best mattress brands. Like the Tempur-Breeze collection, available now, with a $300 instant gift good towards your choice of sleep accessories. Visit with our sleep experts in-store, online, or by phone to find the right bed for you. Only at Mattress Firm, America's number one Tempur-Pedic retailer. Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.
Research shows that people remember radio ads with a booming voice that emphasizes all the main points. So to help you remember that Liberty Mutual Insurance Company customizes your home insurance so you only pay for what you need.
That part is super important.
Here's one with a booming voice.
I'm emphasizing everything.
Liberty Mutual customizes your home insurance.
Like a page with every word highlighted.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk weather outlook for Wednesday. Well, sunny skies again today. High temperatures around 70 degrees. Tonight, though, partly cloudy skies and some fog rolling in. Low temperatures dropping down to about 48. For Thursday, the fog will hang around, but making way to partly sunny skies and high temperatures much cooler, around 60, 61. Partly cloudy skies for Thursday night. Lows down to about 47. We'll see a turn for Friday and running up into the weekend. More clouds and rain showers expected. High temperatures in the upper 50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Maximum Medicine Radio, The Healing Hour, with me, Dr. Sharon Martin, here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This is the Hour of Healing Power. In this live call-in show, The Healing Hour, I'm going to take your calls and help you get started on your way to your maximum potential. So come on, settle in, listen up, and I'll take your questions head on. Together, we'll find practical wisdom and understanding about what ails you. In The Healing Hour, we'll start your day off right, insights and practical health knowledge, and concepts for how you really live. I'll take your issue and help guide you with a blend of scientific medicine and the esoteric, including shamanic energy medicine. So let's shake off some of that mystery and get started on how to really live. Together, let's get unstuck. So come on and join in, join up, and let me help and let go of what holds you back from being the maximum you the world needs. Take down this call-in number, 1-800-930-2819, and let's get started on the Healing Hour right now.
Hey, everybody. I'm Doc Martin. I'm here with Dr. Pat. We're on the Healing Hour. And usually Pat takes it and heads off driving the cart, but today I get to do that. So, Pat, you know, we talked about this. I want to talk about putting pieces together that usually aren't put together in medicine and in healing. And there's so much dissatisfaction with Western medicine, and there's so much thrill about energy medicine, and there's so much attraction to indigenous shamanic ways. But what if there's a power blend of the three of them? What if we could put all three together? I mean, when I think my whole thing, this show is The Healing Hour, but my other show is Maximum Medicine, and that's kind of what I want to head to. I want to head to that new world where we put all the pieces together and we get the most that we can. So yeah. I want to talk about that today.
And I think it's so great to talk about it because I've been thinking about this, Sharon, and I thought about this recently, a couple things in my own life. And here's what I came to. This is not a far cry or stretch from what we're doing now. So let me just throw this out and love for you to comment on it. Every day, people are getting treatment for something. Maybe you're going to get your knee replaced. Maybe you're going to go get a shot, a vaccine or any other shot. Maybe you've got a cold. Maybe you've got this. It doesn't matter. You've got it. How often have you said, gee, I wonder if something's going on with my dot, dot, dot. The minute you say, gee, I wonder if something's going on with my dot, 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 that's called intuition. That is a fundamental part of what we're talking about when we talk about shamanic healing, energy medicine. It is a thing. You can't see it, but you say it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
How often have you seen people in our country and around the world when they are in the middle of a thing? You're going to the doctor. Pray. Pray. All you got to do is listen to some of the stories. Joel Osteen's mother prayed her way. Oh, well, is prayer only for a particular religion? It's not. So see, we are already doing this. And so I think what you're talking about today is you're bringing it to the forefront to say, wait a minute. We're already doing it, but what if you could do it every day of your life? What if you could learn the methods to do it? What if we can examine this closer? What if you are already in the realm of energy medicine and allopathic medicine already, but yet not using its potential? So that's my two cents.
And that's probably worth $10. I get that feeling all the time as a doctor in my office.
Yeah.
And probably even got it before I formally started studying shamanic and energy medicine. Because you'll get somebody who comes who is just miserable with a lot of symptoms, and then you go, gee, I wonder if there's something more kicking under here. And I'll tell you, 99 times out of 100, if you have the time, that's always a problem in Western medicine.
Yeah.
And then if you take the time, that's another problem, and you say, tell me about how your stress is lately. I remember you said you were having trouble in your marriage. How is that going? And then out comes all of the distress that's probably 9 times out of 10 driving the physical. And Western medicine, is great at there. It's great at many things. It's fabulous at many things. But there's a whole realm that we're not reaching. And I believe it's a realm that people themselves can learn to access. And just like Joel Osteen's mother learned to pray,
yeah.
Or do something else.
Yeah. You know what I was struck by? I'm going to go a little pop culture on you. I made this assessment the other day, and I think I was talking to Linda about it. I said, you know, remember back in the day when we would watch, I don't know, television shows about doctors and medicine. Remember, like, medicine woman, whatever her name was. I can't remember the actor. She's actually gorgeous, yeah. I remember when we watched, right?
Yeah, Dr. Quinn, medicine woman, I believe.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yep. Good job, Karen.
I remember when we watched those shows, and even some of the other ones, really old, if I even mentioned some of the names. Remember when we watched all of those, and it was kind of like... Yeah. And, you watch these shows, and it's like they come in, and they talk to you. I said, you know what? You can't find a single show like that on air right now. Every show is emergency ward. It is it's a fire department, something emergency. Even the Amsterdam one, it's like everybody's in a crisis. And it's such a good representation of the reality of what you just said.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I was commenting the other day, and I was reflecting on all the classes I've gone to for workshops for energy healing, for shamanic healing. But we'll be sitting there and everybody be getting to know each other, and you'll go around the room and everybody say how excited they are to be there. They can't wait to learn this. And then out comes the discussion of how much they hate doctors and they hate Western medicine, and it's just terrible, and everything about it's terrible. And I'm sitting there, and I haven't told them I'm a physician, and I'm not going to tell them right now. But I just listen over and over and over at the dissatisfaction. So as good as Western medicine is, we're not doing as well as we could. Because every single time, and I'll have to sit there and inside my mind, it's like, no doctor ever does this. No doctor ever does that. And finally I have to raise my hand and say, well, here I am, and I'm not the only one. But it's a system that has gone so far to one side. It's brilliant. I'm not going to say there isn't brilliance in Western medicine, because there is. You get a knee replacement, for crying out loud. You get a heart transplant. You get an antibiotic where you used to die from a cut. Anyway, so.
No, and I want to comment on this for a minute in a big way, because this is really, and this is, just going to put the caveat about this. This is not a statement about the vaccine and how I feel about it. I want to talk about what we're seeing. The people that have shown up, the institutions that have shown up, what folks have done to set the stage for literally embracing some of that old school Marcus Welby MD stuff. These folks that have been administering by the millions, I can't tell you how many stories I am hearing about how kind these people were, how together they were, how massively at the Boeing Athletic Center, massive amounts of people, and everyone is treated with kindness and care and patience. And we are not talking about that, right?
Right.
But, and it's not an isolated incident, you know, Doc Martin. So there's something that happened which is bringing out the best of people that are in the caring medical. And believe me, if you don't think it's energy medicine when you are sitting there and you are afraid of a needle that's to go in your arm for a lot of other reasons,
mm-hmm.
and the person that is doing it leans into your energy, calms you down, talks with you, that is something we've got to recognize. That's the work you're doing to say, wait a minute, we can
right.
do this. And I got to give a shout out to these people. Some of these people that are administering the vaccine have had to go to training, right?
Right.
Look at the best of us and how we show up.
And I want to add to that, because I know that scientifically, and there's a lot of emotions around vaccines and the COVID vaccine in particular. But when you think about it, we had this never before heard of disease show up. I mean, it was not something we'd ever dealt with. And in 8 months, our scientists came up with 3 different kinds of vaccines. That's miraculous. I mean, that's the medicine we know how to do. Is there other ways we could do? Probably. Is there a lot of momentum for a westernized approach? Yes. But they dug in and they made it happen. And it was the best Western medicine can offer right now.
Yep.
You know, and I don't know what's going on in India, in Central America, South America, of the local curanderos, the healers there, how they're dealing with this in a non-Western way. But regardless of whether or not you want to have that vaccine put in your arm, I agree. There has to be some recognition that there. It's amazing. It's amazing how.
And right now, guess what? We live in a United States of America at the moment where you can choose. So we're not talking about choosing, not choosing. We're not talking about any of that. But I will tell you that my shamanic friends or my energy healer friends or my naturopathic doctors, boy, they have dug deep in their herb kit. They have dug deep in their whatever their kit, and they're pulling it all together. And
right.
This is why this show is so important and what you do is so important, because we're now talking about not a one way to do things. Why don't we bring in the timeless things we've learned, the best of, I mean, honestly, I had a robot give me a new knee. What? A robot. A robot. Of course, my doctor was kind of operating. Dr. Boone was operating the robot, but that's not the point. The point is Dr. Boone is plugged into a robot giving me a new knee. What?
What? Look at, pretty cool.
When we come back, let's take a short break. How do we scope? How do we measure? This is for all of you listening. And believe me, this is a call-in show. 1-800-930-2819. Have you ever felt energy in healing? Have you ever felt the energy around the people that are helping you heal? If it's all energy, then why would we exclude energy as a medicine? When we come back, Dr. Martin is going to take us through this. She's going to talk about what energy is, what energy medicine is, and was Dr. Oz right? Is energy medicine the next frontier, or has it been here for bleeping centuries? Stay tuned. Doc Martin, we're having fun. Call us. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Light Body Wisdom with internationally known Light Body Whisperer, Grace Holmes. She will make you laugh and yawn as you release lifetimes of trauma and begin to feel much lighter. Your divine gifts may be activated, allowing you to weave light into the fabric of the world. Are you ready to be your own light and shine? For more information about Grace, visit gracegholm.com. That's gracegholm.com.
Take the power of essential oil healing to the next level with the Essential Light Insight Deck, containing 61 oracle cards. Each card holds a painting and message that captures the spirit of an essential oil. By drawing a card, you'll illuminate the spiritual healing capacity of plants and transform your day. For more information about the Essential Light Insight Deck and Gen Ripa, visit Thriveology.com.
Hi, this is Brittany Miles from Miles to Go, How to Lose to Gain It All. Here to share a tip with you. It's called 5-4-3-2-1. We all need a break. Time to let it go. Here's a great go-to when you need to surrender and get back to the present moment. Acknowledge 5 things you see around you. Acknowledge 4 things you can touch around you. Acknowledge 3 things you hear. Acknowledge 2 things you can smell. Acknowledge 1 thing you can taste. And with that, take a deep breath. Now you're in the present moment. Brittany Miles, Miles to Go, How to Lose to Gain It All. You can find me on the 2nd and 4th Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death? From debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind. Anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss every first Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit BeyondProof.com.
Are you ready to let go of the I can't that are holding you down? Valerie Trujillo invites you to join her community on a mission to collectively heal as a tribe, where your vulnerability is heard and reciprocated. So tune in to Love and Light with the Crystal Blue Oracle every 2nd and 4th Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Valerie and her work, visit CrystalBlueOracle.com.
Everybody, welcome back. I want to ask everybody a question. For those of you just tuning in, this is Dr. Martin's show, The Healing Hour with Dr. Sharon Martin. This is about bridging the mystical and scientific. You know, during this show, you will also get to call in if there's something bothering you, if there's something going on, if you want to experience the healing that Dr. Martin does. This is the show for you. If you've got a question, if you have a comment, 1-800-930-2819. Also, the question really is, have you experienced, you know, you're listening to the show, have you had an experience of energy medicine? Maybe you didn't know that's what it was. Have you had an experience that somehow transformed you, changed you? Now, Sharon, for the most part, I want to make sure people know if they want to find out more about Dr. Sharon Martin, go to the website, drsharonmartin.com. Right?
Right.
And, you know, please check out what she's doing, and there's much more to come on that. But let's get to this. Energy medicine, Dr. Oz, the next frontier. Most people really don't know what it is, but I bet they are living it at some points in times in their lives.
So I think what Dr. Oz is good at, among many things, is pointing out, even if it's not a trend yet, things that are where places are being steered to. And I think we've returned to an understanding or an interest in energy medicine because, truthfully, it's been around forever. Many of the indigenous healers were able to sense an energy field of the person. And we know those who have studied Valerie, what was her last name? Starts with an H. Was it S? What was Dr. Valerie?
Oh, God, I don't remember. It's slipping me now.
Yeah, it starts with an H, but I can't. I'm losing my mind. People have photographed it. They have studied it. We have an energy field. Each of us has an energy field. And those indigenous healers truly believed that that's the interface between God, spirit, and our soul and our higher self. And that the damage that happened in the energy field was damage that was then translated down to the physical form. So they work in clearing debris, in removing foreign energies from intruding on your field, those kinds of things that we call energy medicine. And our modern day healers, I'll just off the top of my head, Dr. Sue Mortar, many of the Doreen Virtue, Donna Eden, and many more. I'm not leaving you out because I don't think you're important.
Right.
They actually have started to follow Barbara Brennan, a great big one, to actually use and train people to send their energy field to connect to the energy field of others to effect change.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of approach, when you begin to believe, as I believe, that things that happen in the energy body are translated and show up in the physical body, when you apply a fix to that or an intention, again, a thought energy, to have a shift, then you get shifts in the physicality. But I think one thing I want to say that does worry me, first of all, the future is energy medicine, but to me it's the future of remembering what the indigenous healers knew all along. So it's bringing back in the ancient ways to augment our Western allopathic ways. But I want to take a minute or two to say something that I think is very important. We have to apply ethical standards, and we have to really be clear about recognizing when you decide. I'll just give you an idea, and you said this, Pat, you said, have you felt energy? Well, we've all felt when we feel somebody's watching us, or we've all felt not so good if there's somebody in the room and they're shooting daggers at you from their eyes. You can feel that. Our energy field can be influenced and can have intrusions from others around us. So when you pick a healer in the realm of energy medicine, you want to make darn sure that that healer is not applying their personal beliefs to what you should have as an outcome, that that healer has done his or her own clearing of their own psychological baggage, so that they are holding a clean connection between spirit and you. Many people love Reiki, and it's easy to learn, and it's a feel-good, and it has wonderful outcomes. However, I want to just insert this. You want to make sure that as a Reiki practitioner that you have ethics, that you don't stick your energy nose where it doesn't belong, and that you are not putting your ideas of what the outcome should be, other than holding the intention that the client themselves wants. There has to be ethical standards. And sometimes I think we've jumped into this feet first, but we don't have all of the crisp clarity, the defining between energy fields of the practitioner and the client, the removal, you know, cleaning up all the filters. So anyway, that's just my two cents about it's more than just going and taking a class.
I want to talk about what you just said, which we didn't say, if I could get to it. Why would people start to be talking about this so much now? It doesn't matter what you're on, but I would say 80% of the people that hear a friend say, you know, it's all about the energy. Just saying. Or when somebody says energy is everything. Or somebody says, you know, you got to fix your energy around that. I mean, we're starting to use this language now every day. It's posted in social media. I want to understand how to get from the everyday use to understanding the power of the everyday understanding and use of energy. Energy in healing, energy in perspective, energy in mind. And when you and I are talking about healing, I think we should talk about the fact we're not just talking about the body. Can you comment on that, Doc Martin?
So you mean not just the body, but the psyche and the spirit?
Everything. I mean, we're talking about the body. But earlier in the show, you talk about stress, right?
Right.
We're talking about the body. We're talking about the mind. We're talking about so many different things, all of us, let's say. What is the word?
Right.
Holistic.
Right. I want to just go back quickly to one thing you said.
Sure.
Why now? Why are we so hungry for this now? Well, what I don't think we realize, I think we intellectually realize we are totally bombarded by technology, by sound bites, by electronics, and we also, to be a little bit cliche, have a nature deficit disorder. People of old knew how to be in rhythm and harmony with nature. Most of us have lost that. So I think that our energy fields literally are hungry for that sustenance. And they're a little bit, or a lot, frayed by not having the tools it takes to restructure and clear and rejuvenate. So I think we are hungry for that because it will give us, as in the indigenous healers, a recognition of going back to nature. I can't believe that there'll be a single person who wouldn't say that they didn't feel good walking in a forest. But I think we also are hungry for ways to smooth out the rough edges in our energy field. And we're going to take a break, and I want to talk about shamanic healing.
Yeah.
But before, I just want to give everybody a heads up. My Maximum Medicine Show, the first Wednesday of May, is going to be about resetting and stabilizing energy fields. And I'm actually going to do a whole hour of energetics. So if everybody wants to tune in, call in, text in on Facebook Live, precisely about we need rejuvenation and sustenance. So Yeah. We'll come back in a couple of minutes.
I'm excited about this segment for a lot of reasons. One is you're going to be talking about not just shamanic practices and what it means to carry that power, but also how to use it. You know, when you walk into a space, do you have the ability to really shift the energy in there? What could we learn about that? Why would that be important? All of the above has been going on for longer than we could even record it. Doc Martin's going to walk us through it. I hope you all will be taking some notes when we come back. This is all about you. This is all about the healing that so many of you have asked for. And I'm so excited about what Dr. Sharon Martin is putting together. We've got lots more to share with you in future shows. Stay tuned for now. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Everybody, it's me, psychic medium Jamie,
and me, spirit walker Nicole. We are so excited to introduce you to our new live call-in show called Shades of Spirit on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
As we connect you with your crossover loved ones, angels, and guides, and also help you develop your own psychic and healing abilities. For more information and to book your own private experience, go to ShadesOfSpirit.com and also follow us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you, great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, CourageToBeSeen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'm excited to tell you about the latest technology. It is new to this country, and it's just amazing. It's out of Germany. The Healy is state-of-the-art technology for improving and changing the body vibration. I have more information about the Healy on my website, MaryJaneMack.com, or you can call the office at 888-777-4232.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. A very important show today. This is the Healing Hour with Dr. Sharon Martin and me, and I'm so honored to be able to share this time with her. This is about the perfect power blend. This is about bringing energy and ritual into medicine. Now, for those of you that may have a little reaction to the word ritual, let me just say this. We use ritual every day of our lives. Believe it or not, we do it. We go through rituals of everything from how we create our breakfast to how we put our kids to bed at night. And so what is it about when you blend energy and that together? And, you know, we've been talking about this, Sharon, for, you know, for the most of the show. But now we're going to combine the shamanic practices and the word power, which I love. But before we do that, please tell folks how they can find out more about you, how they can schedule a session with you, how they can schedule a stone blessing, all of the above.
Okay. My website is drsharonmartin.com. That's drsharonmartin.com. The best way to reach me is to email me, sharon@drsharonmartin.com, and that's on the website if you don't want to remember that. I do a lot of different approaches to healing. So they are energetic, they are psychological, they are ritualistic, they have some intuition in there. And I do some beautiful work, and I say that because I'm complementing the stones that I use. I consider them my allies. They come with they come with energy and wisdom all of their own. So if I can help you, please get in touch with me. So that brings us to shamanic healing. And everybody talks about energy medicine today, and then people talk about, well, I'm going to go study and be a shaman. Well, what does that mean? So I think nowadays, I think when people say shaman, learning shamanism, there are indigenous healers. And the truth is how they work is through their intuition and their connection with the energy field. The majority of the cultures that I know about, and I'm not 100% knowledgeable, the shamanic healers, these are the medicine men and women of the villages all around the world, the nomads of Mongolia, the bushmen in South Africa who throw bones for intuiting and divining something for their clients. They believe in the universal field, and Greg Braden wrote about the Divine Matrix. Many people, Lynn McTaggart did beautiful journalistic reporting on the studies of the field. There is a literal carpet matrix field of vibration all around us, of which we're a part. And the shamans, the ancient medicine men and women, even those who are currently exist today, know how to become one with that. They know how to tap into it, and they know how to bend it to get what they want for the client. So when I say shamanic healing, different from energy medicine, it's different in the sense that our, quote, energy medicine healers may not do all of the things that we think about when we think about shamans. When we think about shamans, we think about trance. Perhaps we think about using potent plants for psychogenic travel. Dance, so the drumming and the dancing of Native Americans. Throat singing of the Mongolian shamans. So different rituals and different approaches, and mind you, I believe that all of them are deeply connected to nature, to the rhythms of nature, to the seasons, to the other creatures. These shamans, and I will say that when I say shamanic medicine, I'm bringing in the power of nature and ritual more so than what allopathic medicine or energy medicine would do. And that is visualization, so when you journey, when you actually rattle and put yourself into a semi-trance and take a visualization, when you do a ritual, and in Peru, the Caro Indians are, their key ritual is that of the despacho, which is making a prayer bundle, which is a bundle of gratitude, a gift to spirit. And they put their prayers in there. And every step of that is ritualized, and it's repetitive, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So when I say use shamanic practices to blend, I believe we need ritual, and we need to engage that place where we're in the state that we get to when we're in prayer or meditation or ritual, that or dancing, drumming, rattling, that kind of repetitive deepening, to me, puts you into a zone of connection to the universal matrix. And I think when you do it over and over, you hit that same vibrational path that has been accessed for literally hundreds of years. And I think that that's why we find such beauty when we go to power sites. You go to Stonehenge or Avebury or Glastonbury or Palenque or Machu Picchu or the pyramids. You enter and you hit a vibrational field that's been established for centuries of people praying and connecting. So that energetic, what's the word, characteristic or combination is there, and you get into it, and then there's a power in that. And I think when we do our own rituals, we are setting up an energetic dynamic. And when you repeat it, it builds its power. It holds its, I don't know if this isn't correct scientifically, but there's a kinesthetic memory to that. And that's probably why we always put certain things in our smoothie first. You know, we have a ritual of what we do.
Why do we?
Yeah, we do. And I think there is a power that can be gained when you open that, I'm going to use the word portal, meaning opening a doorway or a path. Mm-hmm. When you set up that energetic dynamic, and you repeat it, and you repeat it, and you repeat it, it holds its kinesthetic. And again, Lynn McTaggart's book, The Field, shows how literally in experiments that they would disturb the field and walk away and come back and see that it was still the same. Mm-hmm. It was still in the disturbed state. So that's where I think the power of shamanic medicine is. One other thing that it should be, it exists across all the three fields we're talking about. But it's particularly true in shamanic practices because this is about journeying, which is a visualization. And I'm reminded of Edgar Cayce, who is one of the most amazing. When he was in trance, he tapped into an ancient power and transmitted things, channeled things that had unbelievable knowledge of the future and of his clients, even though Edgar Cayce himself was uneducated. But he said when he was in trance, he said, the mind is the builder. And Dawson Church wrote a book, Mind into Matter, and many people have shown that our mind can dictate how our body goes. And the monks know that, the deep meditators know that. So the shamanic work to me shows a place that I don't think is hit by Western or energy medicine as we think of it, in that we engage the mind for intention, for vision, for clarity, for focus, for the intention for transformation. And I think that ritualistic and even in a sweat lodge when you've got the herbs smudging and stuff, you're getting in a zone. So that's what I see the power of shamanic medicine as.
You know, there's another thing, too, that I was really struck by, and I just want to bring it up for a moment. I'm a young kid, and I don't know. I don't know what the age was when I figured out what was going on. But there was always a strange thing about me. I always like to stay for the benediction. Now, most kids, they're out of there. You know, it's over. Why do you want to stay? The ritual nature of the benediction and incense was always fascinating to me. I'm talking about Catholicism
right.
for a moment.
Right.
It always fascinated me. Of course, there is the entire church, whatever you go to. But that particular ritual with the priest or the bishop, whoever it was doing it, the whole ritual and the blessing with incense just made me feel better. And this is as a kid. And I remember, you know, being asked about it because, you know, my family was like, we're in, we're out, right? Especially my sisters who were not Catholic. And I remember being asked, what is it about that? You know, why do you like to stay? And my answer was, I feel better.
Mm-hmm.
This is
well, take away the dogma. Let's forget
take
about
the dogma the, away.
Yeah, because, I mean, I have a lot of
yes.
issues with Catholicism.
Right.
But when you think about this, and I found myself doing this sometimes in conversation, when you think about doing this,
oh,
a power comes over you.
Yeah.
It is an age-old gesture, but I think it evokes an energetic.
Yep.
And it says, I've sealed the door. Nothing bad's coming in. I'm telling you all as well.
Yeah.
And even as I do it, I can feel it.
Yeah.
Forget about, I'm not, you know, I don't really believe I was raised Catholic. I don't believe all of that. But I do feel this.
Exactly. And that's what I'm trying to say. There are three things I to this day so revere. Holy water is another thing. And I'm not just talking about that particular religion. The idea of water and cleansing is another ritual, right? Essential oils. How did essential oils now become so popular? It is ancient oils,
right?
But yet here we are, and we're so drawn to them, and we're using infusers. And, you know, it leads me to talk with you about now, look, we just gave a couple of examples, which really pulls it all together in our modern time. You know, Dr. Martin, I want to just ask you about this because I know that this is your work, this is the book you're writing, this is your passion. How do we help each of us pull this together and, you know, have a sense of meaning that's going to work for each of us? You and I just gave our personal meaning, right? Something happens when I smudge. And I'm not Native American, but boy, there's something about that. If I see sage, I got to get some. Tell us about pulling it together.
I think we're hungry for reconnecting with those parts that we did as humans for centuries, thousands of years. We're hungry for that reconnecting. When I think about essential oils, the smell, when you talk about it physiologically, neurologically, it is the one sensory nerve, different from taste or feel or hear or see, that goes straight to the brain, no stopping at any other place.
Right.
So that activates the olfactory system of the brain, has many, many, many memories, including what we all know is possible now, genetic memories of our lives as humans from centuries, from thousands of years ago. I think ritual can be calming. It is centering for our minds, our crazy thoughts that are buzzing all over. I think we, as a society, at least in the United States, we don't have a lot of quiet solitude. We have to actively seek it out. So I think ritual allows us to stop, to focus our awareness, to deepen. And I think we're hungry for that. I think it is essential for our rejuvenation. So when we put it all together, how can an ordinary person, without going to different doctors, without going to different courses for training, you can sit quietly and pick a ritual of something you like to do. You can light a candle. You can say the Our Father if you know that prayer. You can make up your own prayer. Like the Native Americans did, you can make your own song. Find a place in nature. And I say this over and over, I'm a broken record. There is power. power and healing in linking up with the earth, and especially all of the components of nature, trees. When I visited Dr. Pat and her team in Seattle maybe 3.5 years ago, driving up the highway to get from Seattle to Bothell along the coast, and there are these evergreens everywhere, it was literally transforming because those trees are hundreds and hundreds of years old with genetic memories that are millions of years old. So you yourself, you the listener, you any person without any higher education in any of these realms can connect with nature. You can do your own ritual, make your own ritual. The trick is that it has meaning to you, and you repeat it, and in that repetition comes the development of that energetic pathway and the connection to spirit. And if you seek to feel your energy body, then start to feel your boundaries and make sure you're not mushing with anybody else's.
Yeah.
A lot of us stick our noses where they don't belong. We need to stop doing that.
Yeah, boy, and wouldn't it be great to be able to figure that out before we stick our nose there?
Before we realize we've stuck our nose and whoops, we're really in the trouble now.
Yeah.
So those are the kinds of things. And then you work on when you're deep and you're quiet, you can then have a dialogue with your own mind. Why does this hurt? Why is my lower back always hurting? And when you have a dialogue and practice being deep, then you're going to get the messages back from your body and your energy field that are going to come from the realms of your emotions, your psyche, your spirit, your physical body, and it's going to give you little intuitions. That's how you're going to deepen your intuitions. And as Dr. Pat said, I'm writing a book that will hopefully give you basics of how to do this all for yourself. But we have the power, and that's something I can't stop saying. And when we pull all these pieces back together again, so Dr. Oz, yes, we are on the frontier, but the frontier means we look back because our ancestors' way of doing it. I'll just tell you a story about it. I moved to South Central Pennsylvania about 20 years ago, and there are older people here who have lived off the land for generations, and they make poultices, and they make paste, and they brew. I had a woman who was in her 80s. She probably, had she not been so hardy and living off the land for so long, she probably would have keeled over in her 60s because she was a smoker and her lungs were terrible. But she went out every spring and she dug up all the dandelions in her yard, and she canned them, and she ate them all the time, all winter long. Well, other than her lungs getting her, she lived till she was 87 years old, which I think is pretty amazing. But we have ways, and even if you don't have your ancestors to actually ask them, in that quiet time when you deepen, your genetic memories will tell you, your intuition will tell you, your higher self and spirit guides will tell you, and you can do all of this yourself.
Mm. Well, I think what's so important about it, and especially about what you talked about today, is that, yes, and there is now time for us to learn. And I think that's why I'm excited about what you're doing, what you're bringing into the world, Doc Martin. It's because you are on the front line as an MD, and you're also on the front line as a shamanic healer, as somebody that knows how to bring all of our systems together. And see, this is what's exciting, because the next step now is teaching others. And I know that is something right. You're so passionate about. We've watched your stone blessings. We've seen the energy. And for those of you, we'll have to replay some of them so people can really feel it. You know, there is something that people call magical. Things shift. Things change. You know, thank you so much. Again, Dr. Sharon Martin, please go to the website, drsharonmartin.com. What's your personal message, Sharon? What do you want to leave us with today?
It is my passion to help everybody know what power they have and to regain that power. And it's my passion to teach you guys. If I've learned anything, I want to share it with you. So that's what my shows are about. That's what the first Wednesday of May, when I do my Maximum Medicine show, airing at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. It's all going to be about ritual and shamanic energetics for us to collectively heal. That's what I'm all about.
I love it. Hey, everybody. You know, Doc Martin, you're creating the future. You're taking the past. You're talking to us in the present. What do you want to leave us with today?
We're moving forward. We're evolving. We have the power. We are not stuck. We are not trapped. And we can literally create it as we go.
Thank you for listening to Maximum Medicine Radio, The Healing Hour, with me, Dr. Sharon Martin, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. We're going to be together the third Wednesday of each month at 11 a.m. Pacific for candid, honest conversation to help you change the way you think about healing, about yourself, about your life. Did you hear your answer on the show? To be with you next month, ready for all your questions, from energy medicine to traditional healing and beyond. Healing is flow, movement, and destination. But are you stuck? What is your true destiny line? Listen in, call in, to let the world know. Together, we'll choose what brings you into healing and let you call in all the power of the universe. Reclaim your path. To learn more about me, Doc Martin, and Maximum Medicine, The Healing Hour, visit www.drsharonmartin.com. See you all next time.